Welcome to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, a podcast designed to help you increase your influence, develop your leadership, and maximize your results.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast episode. This episode every year is one of my favorites to do. It is the podcast episode where I talk about the top five books that I read throughout the year. I've mentioned many times my personal growth plan has been for several years is 50 nonfiction books to read throughout the year. So basically about one a week. And out of those 50, there are usually a few that just stand out as they were really great books that I would recommend. Of course, what I would recommend is always a little subjective because so much of the time when we read a book, our response to that book or our perception of that book is based on where we're standing in the moment. That's why when you go back and read a book that you read several years ago, you might get something different out of it because you're in a different place. So a little bit of a disclaimer there. But anyway, first book that I want to talk about, it's one of the ones I've read very first of this year, actually. A book by Brian Kaiser, and the name of it is They Shall See God. And just to give you, I won't give you give away the whole book, but this is a nonfiction. It's not really an autobiography, but it is a journey about faith. And specifically, Brian wrote it about his faith journey. And he wrote about his transition from a very successful optometrist to running a full-time ministry called God's Eyes. And so Brian at one time was a very successful optometrist in the metro Atlanta area and thriving practice. And at some point really felt God was calling him to start a ministry with eyeglasses. And so the book is phenomenal. It is humorous and downright make you laugh out loud in some places, but also really powerful and vulnerable story about someone who took a leap of faith and at times has questioned whether that was the right thing to do or whether he wanted to do it. In fact, he's pretty truthful and honest in the book about sometimes he didn't want to follow that calling or honor that calling. And I really enjoyed that perspective, right? That authentic perspective of someone who felt called by God and started down that path, but didn't necessarily want to go down that path because of the sacrifices. And I think that anyone who follows a calling like that will have challenges and doubts, and there are going to be sacrifices, right? So really great book in terms of that. And again, tons of funny, humorous stories and some powerful emotional moments as well. And I don't want to give away, but one of them in the book, I actually had a chance to meet Brian even before he wrote the book several years ago. And he shared with me kind of a version of the story or the analogy that ended up in the book. And it was just one of those moments that it almost brought me to tears. It was just so powerful in such a great way. And I was really excited to see that he included that analogy and that example toward the end of the book, but really powerful story. And he's doing some amazing things. So love that. That is the first book that stands out. When I think of the best, quote unquote, books that I've read this year, that one stands out as one of the top five for sure. So the next one I read, and you know what? It was interesting because Mac and I had a very busy October. So several plane trips. We were doing a lot of speaking and we went on vacation. And I usually get quite a lot of reading done on plane rides because I don't usually just watch a movie or almost never listening to music or something like that. Like I really just love to just open up my Kindle, catch up on some great reading material. And so the next three books are all books that I read in the month of October because we were on a plane so much in October. So the number two book that I read this year that really stood out is The Gift by Edith Eger. And if you are not familiar with her, her story in and of itself is incredible. Her first book was called The Choice. It's also fabulous if you haven't read it, but this one was good in a different way. The first book that she wrote really dealt with her story. And she was a Holocaust survivor. She was going to the Olympics as part of the Olympic dance team and was actually excluded from the team for being Jewish. And subsequently, she was sent to Auschwitz. Her family was sent to the prison camps, and she lost everyone but one sister. And, you know, just a really amazing story of survival and overcoming. And then in her first book, The Choice, she shares her story, but she also shares the struggles that she had after surviving the prison camps and the concentration camps and, you know, dealing with the traumas that she had, and mentally she had trouble overcoming some of the things that happened to her. So she talks about that in the first book. Well, this book is not really a sequel in any sense of the word, but this book, it really, she gives you, I think it's 14 keys to unlock the prison of the mind. And so this book was really drawing on not her, just her story and her experiences, but also her wealth of knowledge as a psychiatrist and clinical therapist and all of the work that she's done with her clients in the years since. I think she's incredible. She's in her 90s. She's still traveling and still speaking and still helping people realize that the greatest prison is the one that we create in our mind. And so she walks you through avoiding the victim mindset, the avoidance mindset, you know, so all of these mindsets that we can get in when something traumatic happens to us and how we can get out of it. So really great practical lessons, and obviously coming from her and how much she has been able to overcome and how many people she has been able to help, these lessons are really powerful. So I just enjoyed just some good, really applicable wisdom from someone like that, right? I'm always looking for someone I can learn from, and she is definitely an inspiration and the example of what each of us can do with adversity in our life. And not everybody feels called to be a psychiatrist or a therapist or write books, but regardless of where we go after adversity, all of us have the opportunity to let that shape us in positive ways. And I think that's one of the hardest challenges when we're going through adversity or trauma or tribulations. It's really tough in the moment to remember that this can be shaping us positively for something to come. And that's hard. I know that's hard. It's a challenge for all of us, but it absolutely is something that's possible. So great book there, great example there. Number third book, and this one, it's a little bit out of the category of the other two, but I think now that I'm looking over the top five that I picked, none of them were in the same category as one another. This book was Unreasonable Hospitality by Will, and I think I'm saying this last name right, Will Jadara, Unreasonable Hospitality. And it's really a leadership book. I don't know that he himself would quantify it as that. Maybe he would, but it really had some phenomenal leadership lessons. And it was all about his journey to take a, you know, pretty decent restaurant in New York and turn it into one of the best restaurants in the world. And he talks about, you know, some of the things like how to do that with the food and how to make sure they had the most amazing coffee and all of those aspects, but so many great leadership and culture lessons for a leader. And he talks about developing the team, not just in the competency, but how they developed team members when they brought them on board. How did they interview team members? So many great lessons from leadership and culture perspective. I got a ton of great quotes out of this book. And again, it was a little unexpected because his whole approach is creating one of the best restaurants in the world from the concept of unreasonable hospitality. Like taking the restaurant experience and making it unreasonably, incredibly awesome. And how they did that. So it's not just about the food, it's the experience. And so again, the leadership lessons in leading a team and creating a team and a culture that are so successful at creating wonderful, incredible experiences in a top-end restaurant. And those so many of those leadership lessons apply as we think about in terms of business. Any client, right? How do we treat that client? And how do we give them an experience that is memorable, that keeps them coming back, that keeps them, you know, how do we over-deliver in terms of service? And more to the point, how do we develop the team that can do that, right? Because it's not, you can't just decide to go have happy clients or happy customers. You have to develop the team and the culture that can create that, regardless of what the product is or the thing that you're making or what you're trying to serve. It really is the leadership principles involved. So phenomenal book from that perspective. Okay, number four, Quiet by Susan Cain. And I really had loved Susan Cain's concepts of introversion and extroversion. And this book really was great in terms of helping you appreciate the strengths of both an introvert perspective or extrovert, maybe identifying which one you are if you're not sure, and how introverts really can shine in a culture that highlights extroverts. So she talks about, you know, schools, business schools, for example, are really created to help extroverts shine because in the world of business, extroverts tend to excel. Well, when you understand the concepts and the principles in her book, you understand that it does not necessarily have to be you're an introvert, you cannot be successful, or you're an extrovert, you automatically will be successful, right? So some really great concepts in that. And regardless of which one you are, gives you some great insight on how to deal with people who are on the other end of the extroversion introversion scale. And if you're a parent, I think that this is particularly interesting because many times parents have children who are a different personality type, right? Or a different introvert or extrovert. And so knowing and how to appreciate and how to parent those differences is pretty interesting. But even if you're not a parent, this was a great book in terms of dealing with people. And the world is full of other people. So some really great concepts and content in that book. So I really love that. And then last but not least, and this one was another autobiography, Dolly. And this is Dolly's the book here is Dolly Parton, Dolly, My Life and Other Unfinished Business. And this is not one of her new books. I know that she's got a new book out, but this is one of the older books. So this one has come out or did come out a few years ago. I picked it up somewhere. It's been on my bookshelf for a little while. But really great story about her life, how she got, you know, to be the famous singer that everyone knows about. Some of the struggles that she had to overcome that I had no idea. I mean, she really had a tough time in her early life. And I think that's a testament, again, to how adversity can shape us. And it clearly shaped her in so many ways. And she also has, I mean, not just a story of, you know, overcoming, but this book, again, was another one that just made me laugh out loud. Like Mac would come in there and be like, "What are you reading?" I'm like, "Man, but there were some really hysterically funny stories in this book." And I just appreciated, again, her down-to-earth humor, some pretty authentic stories, you know, just really, really true to life about someone who, for most of us, is a bigger than life personality, right? And so I love reading books like that, that allow you to see the human side of that person and remind you that they are, at the end of the day, human. They're just people like you and me, and they have their same challenges, their same struggles, like we all do. Last but not least, and this book maybe wasn't in my top five, but it was an impactful book. And I don't remember how I came across this book or what made me pick up this book or download this book, rather. It was the title of it is The Girl with Seven Names, A North Korean Defector's Story. And the name of the author, and I'm going to hopefully say this right, is Hyeonseo Lee. Hyeonseo Lee, L-E-E. And really insightful. The story in itself is powerful, and all she had to do to escape North Korea. But it really gives you an appreciation for the things that we take for granted in the United States. And so I did not really know as much about what it was like to grow up in North Korea. So this book was really insightful in shifting that perspective for me and kind of giving me an idea of, again, some of the things that we maybe have taken for granted in this culture that not everybody in the world has access to. And so, you know, just freedoms like that we take for granted, again, every single day, and then realizing that there are many people who do not have those freedoms. So again, powerful in a perspective shifting book. So there you have it. There was my top five plus one books that I read this year. Of course, it's just about to be December. So there will be a few more books as I finish up the end of the year. But those were really the top five, top six that have stood out over 2023 pretty much so far. And of course, if I read another game changer book, you'll get to hear about it on the next podcast episode I do about the best books that I've read recently. So until next time.
Start increasing your influence and maximizing your potential with Rhea's audiobooks. Available at audible.com, amazon.com, and iBooks. Please visit rheastory.com to learn about Rhea's books, resources, speaking, and training programs. Thanks for listening.